بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل لن يصيبنا إلا ما كتب الله لنا هو مولانا وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: لن يغلب عسر يسرين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, addressing the young lad Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, in a very profound interaction while they were mounted on a common conveyance, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the young lad Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, ihfadillaha yahfazka. O young boy, obey and preserve and protect Allah, and Allah will protect you and Allah will preserve you. How do you obey and preserve Allah? By obliging to the dictates of the Quran and Sunnah, by living a life in accordance with the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is how one obeys Allah. In return, what would be the reward of this action of yours? Allah will protect you. Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahimahullah writes under the commentary of this hadith: حفظ الله للعبد يكون بأنواع لا يشعر بها وقد يكون كارها لها. That often Allah protects a person through a medium and an avenue that he is unaware of. He doesn't realize or define this as a sense of protection. A mom embraces her child, a dad shelters his child, a teacher and a tutor protects his student or disciple. Often Allah protects his servant in an avenue that the servant, due to his naive nature, limited understanding, doesn't realize that this is the protection of Allah in his favor. And that's not all he's mentioned. وَقَدْ يَكُونُ كَارِهًا لَهَا. At times Allah protects the servant, but due to his limited understanding, he doesn't realize this to be a sense of protection, because it comes in a disguised form, so he somewhat is apprehensive towards it. Then he supports this theory of his through the quotation of the great intellectual giant Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, who said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَهُمُّ بِالْأَمْرِ مِنَ التِّجَارَةِ وَالْإِمَارَةِ حَتَّى يُيَسَّرَ لَهُ. Sometimes a person intends a venture of business, or he wants some position or leadership, and he aspires for it, and he toils for it, and he exerts himself, and he campaigns for it. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اصْرِفُوهُ عَنْهُ. And Allah, out of His divine knowledge and wisdom, diverts the materialization of this venture away from this person. And Allah tells the malaika, divert it, avert it. So it doesn't see fruition, it doesn't see culmination, it doesn't see materialization. This person, this human, turns around and يَظَلُّ يَتَطَيَّرُ بِقَوْلِهِ أَهَانَنِي فُلَانٌ وَسَبَّنِي فُلَانٌ وَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ. He says, oh man, you know what? He launched me, he deserted me, he abandoned me, things backfired for me, it didn't work out for me. Whereas Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is saying, oh foolish man, that was nothing but the plan of Allah for you. Why? إِنْ يَسَّرْتُهُ لَهُ أَدْخَلَتْهُ النَّارِ. Allah says, if I had to allow this venture to materialize, it was going to be profitable by monetary definition, but it was going to be detrimental by spiritual evaluation. It was going to take him head on into hell, the words of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So Allah, out of His complete kindness, grace and mercy, doesn't allow it to materialize. And hence Ibn Rajab Hanbali says, many a times Allah protects us through avenues we cannot comprehend, fathom or appreciate. And due to our naive nature and limited understanding, we might be apprehensive, we might be skeptical, we might be withdrawn from this year, only to know that is the hidden hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protecting us. The mother of Maryam alayha salam, the spouse of Imran, she prayed to the Almighty that Allah must bless her with a child, and she was going to devote that child to the service of Masjid al-Aqsa. The norm at that time was that only a male child would be accepted for this momentous mission. That is, you devote your child to serve the cause of Masjid al-Aqsa. So she prayed to Allah and she conceived. And while she had conceived, she made this offering to the Almighty. إِذْ قَالَتِ امْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانَ رَبِّ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّرًا فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي. When the spouse of Imran said, Rabbi, O my Lord, inni, verily I, nadartu, I have pledged. And often in life, my brother and my sister, we make pledges to Allah very casually. Many pledges are made in calm and forgotten in storm. When the storms hit, you forget about the claims you made. So when we go for Hajj, let me objectively digress, and then I will come back to this point simply on the word pledge. I just have a reflection, so let me bounce it off you and move ahead inshallah. When we go for Hajj, and may Allah take us all repeatedly, on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, which is a very busy day in the 5 days of the pilgrim, so he has spent the night in Muzdalifah, he performs Fajr in Ghalas in darkness, he then makes Qiyam in Muzdalifah, and then he comes to Mina, there is pelting that takes place, there is slaughtering that takes place, there is the shaving that takes place, the Tawaf Ziyarah, which is the second Rukn of Hajj that takes place. So he is very much engaged in the rituals of Hajj. When Allah speaks about the discussion pertaining to the rituals in Surah Al-Hajj, Allah interjects the discussion. ثُمَّ لْيَقْضُوا تَفَتَهُمْ وَلْيُوفُوا نُذُورَهُمْ وَلْيَطَّوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ. ثُمَّ لْيَقْضُوا تَفَتَهُمْ. Then tell them to remove the impurities. They can take a bath, clean up, remove unwanted hair, etc. Exit the state of ihram. ثُمَّ لْيَقْضُوا تَفَتَهُمْ وَلْيُوفُوا نُذُورَهُمْ. And Allah reminds us, all your life you said, the day I go for Hajj, I will change my life, I will reform my life, I will give up a life of sin. You got very much occupied and engaged and engrossed in the rituals. Don't forget the commitments you made with your Lord. وَلْيُوفُوا نُذُورَهُمْ. Honor their pledge. They should complete what they have pledged to Allah. وَلْيَتَّوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ. And surely they should make the circuit around the ancient house, and that is the Kaaba. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And Allah says, there are some people who make this casual pledges. The day Allah gives me wealth and ease and luxury, certainly I will give charity. Certainly, with emphasis. And I will be amongst the righteous people. فَلَمَّا آتَاهُم مِّن فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ. Many are those after whom I blessed them with an empire and wealth, they withhold. They withhold the wealth. And they forget the commitments and the pledges they had made to the Almighty. There was a brother who once shared an incident with me, and I have a flash of it. There was a local organization doing a collection run, and he had made a mental note that the day they would be visiting our masjid, I would give X amount. When the organization came, and they were raising awareness, and the different brothers and congregants from that masjid made the donations, he found that everyone's donation would not even reach the half mark of what he had intended. So he thought to himself, you know what? I thought I'm going to give, just to use a simple analogy, $1,000. Yeah, nobody is even giving 300 or 400. So even if I give 500, I still reign supreme. I'm still the king. I'm still the big boy. And in that sense, you know what? I've given the most and I can like make a save of 500. So to say, in his mind. You know, the mind plays tricks. The mind plays tricks. When it comes to donation, unfortunately, and spending, then the mind plays 1,000 tricks. Okay, now I have another thought in my mind. My mind is running and hopping, forgive me, but that's how it happens. And often I say that it is from the Almighty because I have a plan to say something and my mind runs away. But I believe that, inshallah, whatever is said is from Quran and Sunnah and is meaningful for all of us. There's an incident of Hassan radiallahu anhu, his brother Hussein radiallahu anhu, and their cousin Ja'far radiallahu anhum. They were traveling. They left Medina and they were traveling to Makkah. فَفَاتَتْ أَثْقَالُهُمْ فِي بَعْضِ الطَّرِيقِ. En route, they lost their belongings and their possession. And they lost the conveyance, they lost their belongings. Their resources were depleted and it had become quite challenging. So they approach an elderly woman and they knock on her door and they say, we are in a crisis, if you could extend some help. So she says, listen, I am really living, breaking even, living hand to mouth. But if you want, I have a goat, a kid, you can milk it and have the milk. So they milk the goat and they drink the milk. They ask her, do you have any food, something for us to eat? She says, the truth be told, that's the only form of survival I have, and if you want, you can slaughter that. So they slaughter it because of hunger and desperation, and they indulge in the meat, and they acknowledge her, they thank her, and they say, نَحْنُ نَفَرْ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ. We are from a Qurayshi descent. We are people of high social standing, and it's crisis on journey that has gripped us, and hence we've knocked your door. But we're going for Hajj. After our return for Hajj, please make your way one day to Medina. فَإِنَّا صَانِعُونَ بِكِ خَيْرًا. We would love to acknowledge you and reciprocate your kindness. Time moved on, and this is something we need to learn. No person should feel that if he's in a soft spot, he's anchored there forever. A believer is one who perpetually fears that the Almighty can strike at any moment. And a munafiq is one who feels, if I am wealthy, my generations are wealthy. If I am healthy, my generations are healthy. If that's what we verbalize or that's what we exhibit with our body language, then that is the trait and the salient feature of a hypocrite and never of a believer. أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Do they feel immune from the grip and the chastisement and the makr of Allah? Well, that's the lot of a nation that are losers. They perform the Hajj, they return. The husband returns. I mean, they move on. The husband returns. Where's our goat? Well, we had some visitors and I was just doing the basic hospitality. So obviously, like any man at that point when there's no other form of income, he was quite offended. تَذْبَحِينَ شَاتَنَا لِقَوْمٍ لَا نَعْرِفُهُمْ ثُمَّ تَقُولِينَ نَفَرْ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ. I mean, this is strange. You slaughter our only kid, the only goat, for people unknown to us, and you want to appease me on the grounds that they are people of noble descent. Anyway, things started, you know, turning, and life got rather challenging and daunting. And they started moving around in the search and in the pursuit of some income and some, you know, to get generate some revenue. And in this way they walk their way and begging and moving along until they come to Medina. والحسن يوم إذن جالس على باب داره. And the fate, destiny, the planning of Allah, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu is standing at the door. Hassan radiallahu anhu resembled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the head to the waist, while Hussein radiallahu anhu resembled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the waist going down. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, during his rule, would give 5,000 dirhams as an allowance to Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma, while he would give his son Abdullah ibn Umar 1,000. Abdullah ibn Umar, the son, challenges the father, oh my dad, I know for a fact, Islam does not condone nepotism. Islam does not sanction nepotism. That is, you do a political favor to a relative. But neither does Islam concur or agree or condone against discrimination. You're discriminating against me. You don't have to give me additional, but you don't have to discriminate against me. I was in the forefront when Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma yal'abani fi turuqat al-Madina. There were kids playing in the streets of Medina. And Sayyidina Umar said, "Oh my son, I would never discriminate against you. It's not you versus Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma. It's your mother versus their mother. It's your mother versus their mother. My wife, your mum, fill the world with them, cannot equal the honor of being the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, "I am grateful for all the bounties that Allah has given me, but I'm green with envy for three things that Allah has given to Sayyidina Ali. Number one, أَخْذُهُ الرَّايَ يَوْمَ خَيْبَرَ." In the battle of Khaybar, when the Muslims could not penetrate, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَأُعْتِيَنَّ الرَّايَةَ غَدًا رَجُلًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. That tomorrow I'll give the flag to a man who loves Allah and his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah and his Nabi loves him just so much. And Umar said, مَا تَمَنَّيْتُ الْإِمَارَةِ. I never aspired for leadership in my life but that day. Not because of the position, but because of the accolade attached to it. And the next morning we came, tiptoeing, waiting in anticipation. And this is the extended silence. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, Aina Ali, where is Ali? This goes to him. And this was the beauty of Sahaba. They all anticipated, but when the privilege was conferred upon Sayyidina Ali, they wholeheartedly accepted it. They weren't like, okay, son-in-law, family matter, yeah, keep it in the family. No remarks and comments and sarcasm and all these type of things. So I am green with envy. Then his proximity to the masjid from his house, which only he had, and tazawwujuhu Fatima, and the privilege of wedding Fatima radiallahu anha. I'm grateful for what Allah had given me. This again was an amazing quality in Sahaba, that they had the muscle and the clout. They had the strength and the vision to wish good for others and to see the good of others. Sayyidina Umar used to say, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ حَاسِدًا أَن يَغْتَمَّ وَقْتَ سُرُورِكَ. You need nothing more to define a jealous man other than his sadness on your happy occasions. You need nothing more to define a jealous man other than his sadness on your happy occasion. So your daughter is getting married, or your son graduated, or there's been some prosperous venture that has come your way, and he's all in a somber mood, and he's all pulled up, and he's all, you know, withdrawn, and that itself, he just cannot deal with the fact that Allah has blessed you. May Allah give us that open hearts, that we can be happy for others. If the joy of others is your joy, every day you'll have a reason to be happy. If the joy of others is your joy, every day you will have a reason to be happy. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is performing prayer. Abu Bakr and Umar and the Prophet ﷺ are having a meeting. They wrap up the meeting and they pass by. It's the late hours of the night, early hours of the morning, engaged in his nocturnal prayer, immersed in prayer. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. فَإِذَا فَرَغْدْ. When you've discharged the obligation of conveying the message, فَانْصَبْ. Then stand in prayer. Dissect the word. نَصَبْ means tiredness, meaning exert yourself. وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. And incline towards your Lord. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is in prayer. And then he's supplicating. He is so consumed in his prayer, oblivious of the presence of those that are around him. He then supplicates Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the rear is saying, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. Oh really, my brother, can there be a greater combination of nobility? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is praying in the late hours of the night. The hadith is in Bukhari regarding the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tahajjud. وَفِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو كِتَابًا إِذَا انشَقَّ مَعْرُوفٌ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ سَاطِعُ أرانا الهدى بعد العمى فقلوبنا به موقنات أنما قال واقع يبيت يجافي جنبه عن فراشه إذا استثقلت بالمشركين المضاجع It's in Bukhari in the first volume, and if my memory serves me correct, on page 155, Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu quotes this couplet, highlighting and sketching the image of that amazing, magical moment, the early part of the morning, and the Prophet of Allah engaged in prayer and reciting Quran. Be it as it may, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is reciting, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Ameen. Sayyidina Umar said, in my heart, I said, tomorrow morning my first thing is I'm going to dash to the house of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and I'm just going to congratulate him and say, my brother, you know what, last night when you were in prayer, this is what happened. I got up in the morning with a dedicated agenda just to be happy over his happiness. Just to be happy. So that was my mission for the day. I got up to say, listen, what I'm doing, I'm running to his house to thank him, congratulate him, wish him well. If you learn to feel happy for others, leave alone spiritually, even physically, you will recover. You will feel good with your health. So he says, I get up, I dash to the door of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, knock on the door, he opens the door. Oh Abdullah, can I tell you something? Yes. You remember last night you were in prayer? Absolutely. You recall post your prayer you were in supplication? Precisely. Can I tell you something? Please do tell me. Do you know when you were praying and you were supplicating, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying, Ameen. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, I appreciate your sentiments, but Abu Bakr was here earlier and he informed me about it. Wallahi ma sabaqtu Aba Bakrin ila khairin qattu illa sabaqani ilayh. Sayyidina Umar said, it was my desire, Abu Bakr surpassed me radiallahu anhu, he excelled me. But I found a niche which I could infiltrate and potentially excel him. And that was to share joy on the accomplishments of others prior to him. But my hat off, I salute the giant Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He has excelled this ummah in every field. He excelled us in everything. Abu Bakr was here to wish me well. May Allah give us clean hearts. Allama Nawawi makes mention of it in At-Tibyan fi Ulum al-Quran, that there will come a group of people, yajlisuna halqa, they will sit in gatherings, yubahi ba'duhum ba'da, then they will boast and have rivalry. You see who's our speaker, you see who's our congregants, who's your speaker, who's your congregants. Hatta anna ar-rajul yaghdab ala jalisihi an yajlis ila ghayrihi. Then a person will get offended. No, no, if you sit in my gathering, you don't attend that gathering. If you attend that sheikh, you don't come here. أُولَٰئِكَ لَا تَسْعَدُ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي مَجَالِسِهِمْ تِلْكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ. Sayyidina Ali said, tell them to have their gatherings as long as they want. None of those actions will be ascended to the heavens. None of those actions will be ascended to the heavens. Anyway, where to where? Bring you back, inshallah. Take you down. Hassan radiallahu anhu is at the door. And we were talking about that old lady and he spots her. So he calls up to her. Luqman Hakim told his son, oh my son, one thing in life you must never remember, and one thing in life you must never forget. So he said, tell me my dad, what is it? When someone has been kind to you, don't ever forget it. And when you've been kind to someone, don't ever remember it. Oh really, my brother? What a man. Someone told Luqman Hakim, the world are raving about your wisdom. Let me quiz you and see how wise you are. Provide me something heavenly on this earth. Something that is divine and heavenly, but give it to me on this earth. He said, no problem. He went to his mom, raised her foot, took the sand beneath her foot and presented it. He said, if there's anything heavenly on this earth, it is the sand beneath the foot of your mom. He said, I pay tribute to your wisdom. I pay tribute to your wisdom. What did Luqman Hakim say? That one thing you must remember in life, and that is somebody who's been kind to you, don't ever forget them. And when you've been kind to someone, don't ever remember it. Don't ever remember it. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was liberating slaves. And he liberated slaves who were weak, who were frail, who were feeble. His father Abu Quhafa was not a Muslim at that time. Subsequently, he accepted Islam radiallahu anhu. So one day his father said to him, "Oh my son, you are liberating these people as a kind gesture. Why don't you profile and identify slaves who are strong, who are talented, who are muscular, who have stamina? So because of their moral obligation and ethical responsibility that you have purchased their freedom and you have emancipated them, at the hour of need you can call upon them and they would respond because you've been kind to them and their physical strength can assist you." So what did Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu say? He said, "Oh my dad, now listen to this, my brothers and sisters." He said, "When I try to help someone, I look for such people in whom I do not find the most remote possibility of reciprocation so that I can take my full reward from Allah." You know, we say, "No, no, help him. You don't know political climate is changing. Tomorrow he could be a minister. Things are changing." So we're looking at our own interests. So Allah reveals the verse, وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. His kindness was not motivated to offset any favor, but driven exclusively to please Allah, and soon Allah will please him. May Allah bless us with those qualities. We the direct opposite. We the direct opposite. The people who we help. And sometimes we don't even help. You say, "Yeah, that man was looking for some money." "Yeah, he came to my house as well. He came to me." Complete the sentence. You didn't help him. He came to your house, correct, he knocked to your door, but you didn't help him. Why are you stopping there? I always tell people have in their homes displayed, "Hadha min fadli Rabbi." That's right. Complete the ayah, "Liyabluwani ashkuru am akfur." Complete the ayah. Mashallah is a display, "This is the grace of my Lord, this is the bounty of my Lord." That's right. Complete the verse. "He's given it to me to test me, am I proud or am I grateful? Am I arrogant or am I kind?" So anyway, Hassan radiallahu anhu went to him and said to the lady, he said, "Aren't you the lady who assisted us on the journey of Hajj?" She said, "I don't have any recollection. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, when you go to a brother, "Brother, you owe me money." "Oh, you know what? It's old age now and I've got a touch of dementia and I have a bit of Alzheimer's and I have short memory." And you know, somebody said, I have a short memory. There's three things I forget. People's names, phone numbers, and I forgot the third thing. There's three things I forget, you know. People's names, phone numbers, and oh, I forgot the third thing. "So I got a short memory, man. You know what? They talk of gerontology. Gerontology, the study of old age, where you lose your cognitive skills." And then suddenly he's waving at someone. "Oh, brother, who's that?" "No, I was with this sister in school 25 years ago." "Oh, that's a good memory. That's a good memory, brother. That's bright enough. Wow. That's amazing. Alzheimer's just cleared up momentarily. It's all in order for now." Like, where are we living? "Man mata wa huwa bari'un min al-kibri wal-ghululi wad-dain dakhala al-jannah." The Prophet said, "If you die free of three things, you go straight to Jannah. Man mata wa huwa bari'un min al-kibri," free of pride. May Allah save me from pride. May Allah save you from pride, my brother. Allah dislikes pride. Who are we? I often sit, you travel, and then you have issues. I have IBS, right? Irritable bowel syndrome. So sometimes, you know what, you have in the runs, and sometimes you're constipated. And you ask yourself, what's your arrogance? When you have in the runs, you cannot stop it, and when you block, you cannot release it. Really, that is your feebleness, oh man, that you cannot defecate at your choice and discretion, excuse the pun and the word, but I'm saying it in the crude reality. And then we are arrogant, like arrogant for what? Where can I have arrogance? Brother says, "Brother, please pray for me. Allah, keep me humble." Well, that's a claim of humility. Make dua, "Allah, keep me humble." Isn't that a claim of humility? What they say, humility is strange, right? Just when you claim it, you lost it. Humility is strange. Just when you claim it, you lost it. So the sister said, no, I don't have any clue. Hassan radiallahu anhu said, I know exactly who you are. And he took her in, and then he gave her a 1,000 goats and 1,000 dinars. 1,000 goats and 1,000 dinars. And then he sent her to her to his brother Hussein radiallahu anhu. And from there my mind ran around what I was saying. That we make pledges, and then when it comes time to deliver, our whole demeanor changes. So when he went to Hussein radiallahu anhu, then Hussein radiallahu anhu didn't say like, oh, my brother gave you 1,000. Yeah, that's 500 from me and 500 from him. You know? We do joint donations. Yeah, yeah. It's a family business. Right? No, that's not how they thought. That wasn't their operation. Like, okay, yeah, that's just consider it down from, that's from the family. It's from the family, it's from the mullahs. Oh, really, from us together. No, man, you have your grave to go to my brother. I have my grave to go to my brother. You have Allah to answer to. I have Allah to answer to my brother. I'm not coming in your grave. You're not coming in my grave. Hussein radiallahu anhu then gave 1,000 goats and 1,000 dinars. And then he sent her to Ja'far radiallahu anhu. And Ja'far radiallahu anhu said, لَوْ بَدَأْتِ بِي لَأَتْعَبْتُهُمَا. If you started with me, I would have given you more than what they gave together. But I don't want to raise the bar and be insensitive to their donation. So I will just give you independently what they both gave. You take 2,000 goats from him, 2,000 dinars. But if you came here, I would have put a precedent so high, I would have tired my cousins out. These were people, man. These were real. When they make pledges, they honor it. يُوفُونَ بِالنَّذْرِ يُوفُونَ بِالنَّذْرِ وَيَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا كَانَ شَرُّهُ مُسْتَطِيرًا. They honor what they tell Allah, and they fear the evil of a day that is widespread. Anyway, we come back to where I had started. And I was saying of the mother of Maryam alayha salatu wassalam, the wife of Imran. My pain, I tell you, my brother and sister, and I say it in my humble talks, is unfortunately the level of Islamic knowledge in the ummah today is very minimal. You know, I wish when I touch on a topic, I could just make a reference and each man could turn his own archives and flip through his own record of how much knowledge he has, and he could reference that and we could just bounce off and move forward. But lo and below, many of the things which form basic Islamic knowledge and elementary aspects are unknown to a significant and sizable number of the ummah, simply because we have not educated ourselves on the aspects of deen. May Allah forgive us. May Allah forgive us. So anyway, she pledged to Allah. And what she pledged to Allah, that this child I'm going to devote. Remember what we were saying, that Allah protects us in measures that we don't understand. And Allah is just too kind. Allah is just too kind beyond words. مَا شِئْتَ كَانَ وَإِن لَمْ أَشَأْ وَمَا شِئْتُ إِن لَمْ تَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ خَلَقْتَ الْعِبَادَ لِمَا قَدْ عَلِمْتَ فَفِي الْعِلْمِ يَجْرِ الْفَتَى وَالْمُسِنِ فَمِنْهُمْ شَقِيُّ وَمِنْهُمْ سَعِيدُ وَمِنْهُمْ حَسَنٌ وَمِنْهُمْ قَبِيحٌ عَلَى ذَا مَنَنْتَ وَهَذَا قَذَلْتَ وَذَا أَعَنْتَ وَهَذَا لَمْ تُعِنْ. It's going to take an hour if I'm going to translate, so leave it. Let me move on. So, when she gives birth to the child, which she was hoping and anticipating to be a male, because she had pledged to Allah to give the child to Masjid al-Aqsa, فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا, when she delivered, when she placed, when she gave birth, قَالَتْ, she said in exclamation, رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى. Oh my Lord, it's a girl. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ. And Allah knows very well what she gave birth. Allah is aware of the gender. اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَحْمِلُ كُلُّ أُنْثَى وَمَا تَغِيضُ الْأَرْحَامُ وَمَا تَزْدَادُ. مَا تَغِيضُ الْأَرْحَامُ وَمَا تَزْدَادُ encapsulates every development, every fetal development that happens in the womb of that female. مَا تَغِيظُ الْأَرْحَامُ وَمَا تَزْدَادُ is such an all-embracing expression of the Qur'an, whether it's gender, whether it's age, whether it's fortune, whether it's complexion, whatever it is has been encapsulated in this verse. And the Qur'an speaks about embryology in different verses of the Qur'an. But then Allah said to her, oh, the mother of Mary, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى أي وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ الَّذِي طَلَبْتِ كَالْأُنْثَى الَّتِي وُهِبْتِ Oh, the mother of Maryam, you were anticipating a boy, but we gave you a girl, but let us inform you, the girl we gave you, no boy can match this girl. So you're praying to Allah for something, Allah gives you different. In my limited understanding, I'm like, Allah, why, which, what's the reason, how come? But the plan of Allah is perfect. And this Maryam then was taken to Masjid al-Aqsa, and she would worship Allah there, and she grew up there, and she was under the guardianship of Zakaria alayhi salam. And there was actually a discussion amongst them, who's going to be responsible for this child? It's a girl. And Zakaria alayhi salam said, myself, because I'm a relative, I'm an uncle, her aunt is in my wedlock. And they wouldn't agree, and finally they decided to draw lots. And this is in the Quran, my brother, it's not a tamsak. This is in the Quran. And they decided to draw lots. And the manner in which they drew the lots was also unique. That they had to drop their pens against, you know, the pen that would float against the current. The pen that would flow with the current, that's obvious. But the pen that would float against the current, he would, you know, be the person selected. وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يُلْقُونَ أَقْلَامَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ يَكْفُلُ مَرْيَمْ وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يَخْتَصِمُونَ Urwa ibn Zubair, our message today is, when things get rough and the tides are high and the challenges are overwhelming you, hold firm, the plan of Allah is perfect. Hold firm, the plan of Allah is perfect. إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا Basic Arabic grammar, if a word appears with alif lam as a definite noun, and the word appears again, then the Ahlul Lughah grammatically tell us, the latter refers to the former. You're talking of the same thing. And if it appears without alif lam as an indefinite noun, then the two words refer to a separate meaning altogether. So if we analyze this ayah grammatically, inna ma'al usri yusra. A loose translation, verily, ma'al usri with difficulty, yusra, there's ease. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Allah says that again, verily, with difficulty, there is ease. So we find on both instances, the word al-usr has featured with alif lam. Anna al-usr ma'al alifi wal lam. Fil mawdi'ayni lil'ahdi. فهما شيء واحد واليسر منكر في الموضعين فهما شيئان إذا فجميع عسر المؤمنين في الدنيا واحد وهو ما نابهم من شدائد الدنيا ويسرهم اثنان اليوم بالكشف وغدا بالجزاء If you know Arabic, you'll know what I'm saying. But basically what it means here is, I read this in Tafsir al-Qushayri and I was just like blown away by this amazing commentary. And that's the Quran. You can just get, you know what, immersed into it. It's like one verse and it's so deep and profound and your mind can just run. And really we never get to the depth of it. That's the words of Allah. So essentially, the problems of the believers are one. And that's the challenges of this world if you understand the ayah grammatically. But Allah is promising a dual ease. A dual ease. And hence the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَنْ يَغْلِبَ عُسْرٌ يُسْرَيْن لَنْ يَغْلِبَ عُسْرٌ يُسْرَيْن One difficulty will not able to overpower two ease. If you are in difficulty now, surely it was preceded by ease and it will be followed by ease. So just hang on and Allah will make it easy. So Urwa ibn Zubair rahmatullah alayhi وُلِدَ عُرْوَة ibn Zubair لِسَنَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ بَقِيَتْ فِي خِلَافَةِ الْفَارُوق He was born in the last year left of the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anhu. في بيت من أعز بيوت المسلمين شأنا وأرفعها مقاما. In a very noble house. His father was none other than Zubair ibn al-Awam radiallahu anhu. His mom was none other than Asma radiallahu anha. Dhatun nitaqain. The woman who split her apron in half. لِتَرْبِتَ بِأَحَدِهِمَا مِزْوَدُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَبِالثَّانِي سِقَاءَهُ. Because with half she tied the food of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and with the other half the water in the journey of Hijrah. أَخَذَ الْعِلْمَ عَنْ خَالَتِهِ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. He acquired knowledge from his aunt, his maternal aunt Aisha radiallahu anha. حَتَّى غَدَى أَحَدُ الْفُقَهَاءِ السَّبْعَ. He became among the seven most prominent jurists of Medina. He was a very, very generous man. كان سخي اليد سمحا جوادا. By nature Allah had blessed him with generosity. You will not find a pious person in history who was not generous. Every generous person is not pious, but every pious man was generous. We don't need to do mantiq now. وكان من جوده وسخائه. Part of his generosity was يصور بستانه. He had fenced his garden, he had beautiful orchards, he fenced it. لحمايته من أذى الماشية, so that the animals would not invade it and people would not trample in it. حتى إذا أينعت الثمار وطابت واشتهتها النفوس. When it would be ripe and it would be time to pluck, he would break the fence and he would give open access to anybody. Come in my orchard, choose. حتى يحملون ما طاب لهم الحمل ويأكلون ما طاب لهم الأكل. You can come and eat and fill your bags and take. It's free for all. This was his practice. And Allah had blessed him accordingly because of the generosity that Allah had given him. So Allah had blessed him in his empire accordingly. During the period of Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, Allah in his wisdom had a test in place for Urwa ibn Zubair. In Urdu they say, Musibat to har ek ke upar aati hai, koi nikhar jata hai to koi bikhar jata hai. A challenge and a trial comes on all. Some sparkle and glow even better than before, and others deviate and get lost. Some shine even more after that, and they find their Lord. So Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, who was the ruler of the time, had called him. And at that time he was in Damascus. So labba da'watahu, he acceded to the request and he came. And he took his eldest son with him. When he got there, his son was just looking at the horses and the stables of the king. And fate had it that one of the horses of the king gave this young lad a kick. And it proved to be fatal, and tragically it claimed his life. So obviously it's tragic, you go in, you've responded, you're going to visit, it's a high profile visit, and lo and behold, the tragedy that happens, your son passes on. But it doesn't end there. When he goes down in the grave to lower his son, he injures his foot so badly that it starts swelling, and now the pain becomes unbearable, and the doctors of the time advise that the only way forward is you got to amputate the leg. So he's lost his son, and is on the verge of losing his leg. Much effort was made to rescue the organ, but there was no way possible, and the only way to save the entire body was to amputate the organ, and that was the leg, because he had injured his foot while he was bearing his son. And sometimes, and this is what I actually want to speak of, sometimes in life the challenges double up. Human nature is such, when problems double up, we wonder why. But when prosperity doubles up, we never ask Allah why. We never ask Allah. Sometimes things are happening, and money is coming in four directions, and it's all working well. And we never say, Allah, but why me? No. You know, let it come, don't talk loud, let it move. But when things get tough, and the tough, you know, it gets challenging. إِذَا اشْتَدَّتْ بِكَ الْبَلْوَى فَفَكِّرْ فِي أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ فَعُسْرٌ بَيْنَ يُسْرَيْنِ إِذَا فَكَّرْتَهُ فَفْرَحْ. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu lost the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like everyone. And in 6 months thereafter, he lost his wife Fatima radiallahu anha. وَأَنَّ افْتِقَادِ فَاطِمَا بَعْدَ أَحْمَدْ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا يَدُومَ خَلِيلُ. وَأَنَّ افْتِقَادِ وَاحِدًا بَعْدَ وَاحِدٍ. One poem goes like this, one goes like that. And the fact that I lost my Fatima 6 months after I lost my Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, convinces me nobody has ever come here to stay. Nobody has ever come here to stay. Imagine in 6 months you lost Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Fatima radiallahu anha. There isn't a greater test. And so they amputate his leg. And when they amputate it, and obviously as Muslims we thought we bury the organ and that's the respectful way. So before they take the organ, he says, bring my leg here. And then he gently strokes the leg. And he shows a sense of passion and feeling. That listen, this organ, this limb, you are part of my body. But today we part ways. And inshallah we will meet in Jannah. And he says to the leg, he addresses this organ, this limb. وَالَّذِي حَمَلَنِي عَلَيْكِ فِي عَتَمَاتِ اللَّيْلِ إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّنِي مَا مَشَيْتُ بِكِ إِلَى حَرَامٍ قَتُّ. Oh my leg, today we part ways and you go your way. I'm happy to say for the record at the day of separation, with the grace of Allah, as long as you were part of my body, I never put my weight on you an inch towards vice even once in my life. I'm so happy we parting on such a clean slate. Oh my leg, off you go. And I'm happy for the record that you won't give any negative testimony against me. And then he sang the couplet, La amruka ma ahwaytu kaffi li ribatin wala hamalatni nahwa fahishatin rijli وَلَا قَادَنِي سَمْعِي وَلَا بَصَرِي لَهَا وَلَا دَلَّنِي عَقْلِي وَلَا رَأْيِي عَلَيْهَا وَأَعْلَمُ أَنِّي لَمْ تُصِبْنِي مُصِيبَةٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ إِلَّا قَدْ أَصَابَتْ فَتًا قَبْلِي لَعَمْرُكَ مَا أَهْوَيْتُ كَفِّي لِرِيبَا. I swear by Allah, I've never advanced my hand towards sin. وَلَا حَمَلَتْنِي نَحْوَ فَاحِشَةٍ رِجْلِي. And my legs have never walked towards vice. وَلَا قَادَنِي سَمْعِي وَلَا بَصَرِي لَهَا. And neither have my ears heard anything immoral, nor has my sight seen anything obscene. وَأَعْلَمُ أَنِّي لَمْ تُصِبْنِي مُصِيبَةٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ. And I take solace if I have been tested. There are others around me that are tested much more than me. He returns back to Medina. People are afraid, how do we welcome Urwa ibn Zubair? What words of comfort do you say to the man? He went with his son, he comes back without an organ and without a son. So he addresses the people and he says, لَا يَهُولَنَّكُمْ مَا تَرَوْنَ. Don't be saddened by what has happened in my life, because I have made peace with what my Allah has decided. I am happy with it. فَلَقَدْ وَهَبَنِيَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الْبَنِينَ وَأَعْطَانِي أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الْأَطْرَافِ أَخَذَ مِنْهَا وَاحِدْ وَأَبْقَى لِي ثَلَاثَةً. وَيْمُ اللَّهِ لَئِنْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنِّي قَلِيلٌ فَلَقَدْ أَبْقَى لِي كَثِيرٌ وَلَئِنِ ابْتَلَانِي مَرَّةً فَطَالَمَا عَافَانِي مَرَّاتٍ. See, my Allah gave me 4 key organs, 2 hands, 2 legs. He's been so kind, He's only taken one away, He's left 3 behind. He's given me 4 sons, He's been so merciful, He's only taken one, He's left 3. If He has taken, He's surely left behind more. If He has tested, He's surely favored more. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out of the valley of Abu Talib, 3 long, tough, hard years. And just when he came out, and who was with him in that valley of Abu Talib, when the sanctions were imposed against the Banu Hashim by the infidels of Makkah, was his devoted spouse Khadija radiallahu anha. She passed on at the age of 65. So she was there for the last 3 years of her life. At the age of 62 she went in. She wedded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when she was 40 and she passed on when she was 65. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 25. And he was 50 when she passed away. The 3 years, the final 3 years in her marriage life and on this earth with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was spent in sanctions imposed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, which spouse has that sabr and tolerance with their partner? When things get tough, the marriages break. The Prophet ﷺ comes out of the valley of Abu Talib. He barely exits. It's the 10th year of prophethood. And the pillar of support, Abu Talib, passes away. Abu Talib was the strong. وَكَانَ أَبُو طَالِبْ يَحُوتُ. He would protect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَبِمَوْتِ أَبِي طَالِبْ أَلَّذِي أَعْقَبَهُ مَوْتُ خَدِيجَ تضاعف الحزن على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Abu Talib, so the Prophet says 3 years in the valley of Abu Talib, he exits from there. 5 days thereafter, Abu Talib passes away, and 3 days after that, Khadija radiallahu anha passes away. And hence history refers to that as Ammul Huzn, the year of anguish, the year of bereavement, the year of pain, because the pain of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had reached a level that cannot be explained in words. But the scholars say it was the mounting challenges and difficulties in the blessed life of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which then culminated in the journey of Mi'raj, where Allah took him to the heavens and beyond. So for a believer, there is comfort when things are getting tough and one tragedy is following another. Surely Mi'raj in my life will not happen, or in your life. But in a mysterious way, Allah's favor and kindness will come through avenues unimaginable. The ulama say Allah blessed the Prophet ﷺ with Mi'raj after the death of Abu Talib, after the death of Khadija radiallahu anha, and after the journey of Ta'if, where all this had mounted up, and then Allah gave him this honor like no other honor. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الرُّؤْيَا الَّتِي أَرَيْنَاكَ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَالشَّجَرَةَ الْمَلْعُونَةَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. Allah speaks about the journey of Mi'raj, the opening verses of the 15 juz, Isra and Mi'raj. Zainab radiallahu anha, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zainab bint Jahash. She was the sister of Abdullah bin Jahash and Hinna bint Jahash. Hinna bint Jahash radiallahu anha features in the incident of Ifk. Abdullah ibn Jahash features on his favorite, his amazing dua that he had made preceding the battle. Allahumma inni uqsimu an alqa al-aduwa ghadan fayaqtulunani wa yabquru batani. Her mom was Umayma. Who was Umayma? The daughter of Abdul Muttalib. So Umayma was the paternal aunt of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brother, we don't know basic Islamic history. You ask an average Muslim on the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's names, they lost. And more painful than that, they will know the names of all cricketers. And by the way, the cricketers here, it's not easy to pronounce some of those names. Right? One is ignorance on the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we know all other things. So Umayma radiallahu anha was the aunt. She's the daughter of Abdul Muttalib. She's the sister of Hamza radiallahu anhu. And she's the mother of Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu anha. Her name actually was Barra. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then named her Zainab. وَكَانَتْ تُكْنَا أُمَّ الْحَكَمْ. She was known as Ummul Hakam. كَانَتْ وَرَاعَةً صَوَّامَةً قَوَّامَةً. She was very pious, she was very religious. She came from a very noble family, the first cousin of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the Arab there was this custom and there was this practice that, you know what, you belong to a particular class and a particular lineage, ancestry and genealogy, so this is an elite class and that's of a lower class and that's of a substandard class. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to demolish this here and bring about the sense of equality. And that's the teachings of Islam, that all are equal in the eyes of the Almighty, and if anything matters, it is taqwa and piety, not your color and your creed. لا تترك التقوى اتكالا على النسب فقد رفع الإسلام سلمان فارس وقد وضع الشرك الشريف أبا لهب. لا تترك التقوى اتكالا على النسب Don't abandon piety, relying on the nobility of your lineage. فَقَدْ رَفَعَ الْإِسْلَامُ سَلْمَانَ فَارِسٍ Islam elevated the Persian Salman. وَقَدْ وَضَعَ الشِّرْكُ الشَّرِيفَ أَبَا لَهْبِ While polytheism disgraced and humiliated the honorable Abu Lahab. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to marry أراد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يزوج ابنة عمه زينب to get his cousin daughter, his cousin married, that is the daughter of Umayma radiallahu anha, that is Zainab radiallahu anha, get her married to his freed slave, Zayd radiallahu anhu. He was adopted in the incidences in the Quran, and he was then liberated. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to bridge the gap, and to show that it doesn't mean if you were, for a stint, you were a slave, and then you were liberated, they cannot marry. This classes and this belonging to this category or this lineage or this genealogy, it doesn't hold any merit in the eyes of Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Zainab radiallahu anha and he extended the proposal. Now listen to this carefully. Understand the focus. I'm saying challenges will come. We need to persevere. The plan of Allah is perfect. Just hang on. Allah knows what He's doing and Allah's plan is perfect. So anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to propose on behalf of Zayd radiallahu anhu to Zainab radiallahu anha. So she modestly declines and she says, لَسْتُ بِنَاكِحَتِهِ O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will not get married to him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, بَلَا تَنْكِحِيهِ No, O Zainab, I feel you should get married. She said, okay, I will look into the matter. وَبَيْنَهُمَا يَتَحَادَثَانِ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Zainab are having the discussion regarding the marriage and Jibreel comes on and revelation is revealed. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَن يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا And it's not befitting a male and female believer that when Allah and His Nabi decree a matter that they request for an option in this regard. It's not behoving, it's not befitting. It doesn't gel with the profile and the nature of a believer. So Zainab radiallahu anha said, Raditahu li zawja? O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you happy with Zayd as my husband? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, precisely, that's why I'm proposing. She said, okay, qad raditahu. I'm happy with what you've said, and I accept him as I hand myself over to him in marriage. The nikah was then performed, and وَأَصْدَقَهَا زَيْدٌ Zayd radiallahu anhu gave her, according to the narration of Ibn Kathir, 10 dinars in dowry, 16 dirhaman, 60 dirhams, khimaran, a scarf, muddan min at-ta'am, a measure of food, and some grain, etc. So here's the first challenge in the life of Zainab radiallahu anha in this context, that she was made to wed someone against her wish and her desire. She had her reservations, but the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, this is what I want. Revelation came down that you got to be firm, and this is what Allah has decided for you, so you got to accept it. So she obliges. But the narrations go on. شَاءَتْ حِكْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَلَّا يَتَوَافَقْ زَيْدٌ وَزَيْنَبْ فِي نِكَاحِهِمَا The wisdom of Allah was that this marriage wasn't to hold. This marriage was turbulent and rocky from the inception. This is exactly how scholars write. شَاءَتْ حِكْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى The wisdom of Allah was أَلَّا يَتَوَافَقْ زَيْدٌ وَزَيْنَبْ فِي زِوَاجِهِمَا وَصَارَتِ الْحَيَاةُ And life became such that it couldn't continue. وَزَيْدْ يَشْتَكِي لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَدَمُ إِسْتِطَاعَتِهِ الْبَقَى مَعَ زَيْنَبْ And Zayd radiallahu anhu would come every day and say, Oh Prophet Allah, we're having this issue and we cannot get along and really it's not happening. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ زَوْجَكَ وَاتَّقِ اللَّهَ That listen Zayd, I told her to get married and I wanted to bridge the gap and against her wish to please me she got married. Try and just see how you can work this out. Try and see that you... Now look at the challenge of Zainab radiallahu anha, and I'm taking you to a point. My message to you is my brother,
There are challenges out. The wisdom of Allah is perfect. The plan of Allah is perfect. A believer is one who turns to the Almighty and finds his Creator. كُلُّ نِقْمَةٍ تُقَرِّبُكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ فَهِيَ نِعْمَةٍ. What did Abu Hazim say? Every tragedy that made you inch closer to your Creator is really a bounty in disguise. Every tragedy that made you go towards your Creator, that's not a tragedy. If you found your Creator in the equation, then what you lost is far less than what you found. If you found your Creator, you know, when you were right at the bottom and you knocked your head, in Arabic they say, رُبَّ عِلَّةٍ كَانَتْ سَبَبُ الصِّحَّةِ. Some sicknesses are the cause of cure. You know, you need to get more sick to be hospitalized, to understand the condition, how critical and chronic it is, for you to abandon and change your life. So sometimes in a disguised way, that sickness is actually a cure, a means of a cure. And the Prophet ﷺ kept on telling Zaid, please just hang on, just stall it, let it go, please bear. But he then realized that this is not going to hold on. وَتُخْفِي فِي نَفْسِكَ مَا اللَّهُ مُبْدِيهِ وَتَخْشَ النَّاسَ وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَى. And in his heart he concealed that if Zaid is going to divorce, then the only way I can touch the emotions of this woman is that I will get married to her. Because she went through so much in her life. And that was the precise planning, and I'll tell you exactly why. But I'll tell you some other points briefly, I know time is running out. So it moves on for a period of time, compatibility is not happening, and in the end Zaid radiallahu anhu divorces Zainab radiallahu anha. And after that divorce, there isn't, after of course the period, you know, whatever is over, there isn't a formal marriage that occurs on the earth. The Quran says when Zaid divorced her, we wedded you to her, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So she used to often boast to her co-wives and say that, oh Aisha radiallahu anha, your dad Abu Bakr married you. Oh Hafsa radiallahu anha, your dad Umar radiallahu anhu married you. Oh Maymuna radiallahu anha, so and so married you. Well, my nikah was solemnized by Allah Himself. فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَجٌ لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَجٌ فِي أَزْوَاجِ أَدْعِيَائِهِمْ إِذَا قَضَوْا مِنْهُنَّ وَطَرًا وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ مَفْعُولًا. Now why? What was the wisdom of this entire cycle? And why did the Prophet ﷺ wed Zainab radiallahu anha? And see how Allah compensated. Whatever your challenges were, if you were compensated by becoming the wife of the Messenger ﷺ, really, it pales out every challenge in relation to the honor. Imagine being the spouse of the Prophet ﷺ. Sauda radiallahu anha, I salute her amongst the spouses. And again I'm asking you, read the lines of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sauda bint Zam'ah radiallahu anha. For whatever reason, the narrations are not explicit on the motive. But the narrations are clear that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended divorcing her. She was one of the spouses of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said, O Nabi of Allah, please don't divorce me. وَلَكِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَنْ أُبْعَثْ مَعَ نِسَائِكَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. I'm a woman, I am of age, I passed that need. I know you are very fond of your wife Aisha radiallahu anha. I am giving willfully my day that you could spend it with Aisha radiallahu anha. I am forfeiting all my rights, but keep me in your nikah. So I die as your partner, and I stand up as your partner on the day of Qiyamah. And the Prophet ﷺ accepted her proposal. فَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقْسِمُ لِعَيْشَةَ يَوْمَيْنِ يَوْمَهَا وَيَوْمَ سَوْدَى. So Aisha radiallahu anha used to have a dual day. Her allotted day and the day of Sauda. Imagine how clean her heart was. This is her co-wife. She was like a child to her in age. Sauda radiallahu anha featured as the most elderly of the spouses. Aisha radiallahu anha was the youngest of the spouses. But she realized that the honor of being She said, "O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I would like to say," and she remains our mother, and she remains the mother of the believers till the day of Qiyamah, and she'll stand up alongside the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah. So how Allah compensated, Allah tested Zainab radiallahu anha. She got married by the dictate of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam against her personal choice. The marriage was rocky, she persevered. The marriage was dissolved. Sometimes you think, but I got married, I followed procedures, everything was in order. It wasn't any dating or courting or illicit or impermissible or incorrect. But why has this happened? Don't ask why, my sister, don't ask why, my brother. The plan of Allah is perfect. Allah compensated for her in a way that she now comes into the wedlock of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hikmatu ziwaji Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi Zainab. What was the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marrying Zainab? In a nutshell, the Quran says it categorically. So there was this myth, amongst the Arabs, that if you adopt someone, they become your actual son. This was their practice. You know, people have this notion, this myth, this assumptions. Like people had this myth in them and this notion that if you come to a valley or a desert or a forest or a jungle, then the Arabs used to say, أَعُوذُ بِعَزِيزِ هَذَا الْوَادِي مِنْ شَرِّ سُفَهَائِهِ. I seek the protection of the king jinnat in this area from the evil nature of all the other jinnat that are here. The Quran makes mention about this in Surah Jinn. So the men used to come there and they say, no, when you drop here, it's a forest, it's an open land, you must ask the protection of the king jinnat, so then you will be safe. So the jinnat were arrogant, and this notion of man's fear for them or seeking protection added to their arrogance. The Quran speaks about it. You know, sometimes a person is proud and then you even elevate him even more, so he gets even more proud. So the Quran says, وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنسِ يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنسِ. My brother learned Quran. My brother, I can only tell you with the grace of Allah, 20 years in my humble capacity teaching Quran, there is not a greater moment of spiritual ecstasy that I enjoy other than reading Quran and reflecting over its meaning. I never appreciate or experience such a moment in anything else. And I don't understand, I'm just touching the surface. But I can promise you, every day, and that's the beauty of the Quran, I would go through 1,000 emotions, and I would be confused in my thought and my mind, and I would come for salah, and the imam would select a ruku in prayer, and as I listen and reflect over the meaning, my Lord is answering all my questions in sequence. If you don't bother to understand the message of the Quran, then who do you blame when you are at the crossroads of life, when the Quran is answering for you? So you go through this turbulent day, and you're wondering why and what and if and this, and then you come for the salah, and the imam is reciting the Quran. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ. And this hasn't happened to me once. I have mentioned this in I don't know how many countries across the globe, and how many times I've said it to my students and disciples and colleagues. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So you come for prayer, and Allah says that it is highly possible you like something but it's bad for you, and it's highly possible that you dislike something and it's good for you. And listen, Allah knows it, you don't understand it. Like, okay, I got the answer, my Lord. I got the answer, my Lord. I got it. Like, what? You're confused and your mind is running and the Quran is just coming down and you're listening to it. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows, you don't know, and you go down in ruku. Okay, my Lord, I got it. There are 1,000 times this happens to me. It's so amazing. You crossing your, and then you know, you're having this issue, and I'm talking with the cap of being a father of 3 adolescent kids, and I ask you to pray for my sons, and may Allah guide all our youth. You know, they say, you know, kids only have youth once. Why? Because society can't handle more than that. They can't handle more than that, right? It's a turbulent phase of life. And you're grappling with your kids and it's back and forward and up and down. And it's a negotiation and you try and you're wondering, but why? And then you come for prayer and the imam is reading, المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا. Wealth and children is just the entertainment and the amusement and the adornment and the beautification of this world. That is what it is. Or the imam is reading, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Wallahi, my brother, I don't know. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, إِنِّي لَآتِي عَلَى الْآيَةِ فَأَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا عَلِمُوا مِثْلَ الَّذِي أَعْلَمُ. I would come to a verse, I would be engrossed on the sciences of the verse, I would dive into the commentary of that verse, and my heart would scream out, I wish the whole world could come and understand this ayah as I've understood it. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, he obviously had that profound knowledge. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, مَا نَزَلَتْ آيَةٌ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا وَأَنَا أَعْلَمْ أَيْنَ نَزَلَتْ وَفِيمَا نَزَلَتْ وَلَوْ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ أَحَدًا أَعْلَمُ مِنِّي بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ تَنَالُهُ الْمَتِيُّ لَأَتَيْتُهُ. There isn't a verse in the Quran, but that I'm aware when it was revealed, why it was revealed, and at which location it was revealed. And if there's anybody who knows anything more than me in Quran, I'll hop onto the back of my conveyance and gallop my horse now and add from his knowledge to my knowledge. Learn Quran, my brother. Learn Quran. You can just cry and cry and say, this is the word of my Allah. What hurts me is we don't know and we don't even feel bad we don't know. As people are on the bulletin, each news, one, you know what, the update is, seen this year, seen that year, latest update, and I don't even know the translation of one surah of the Quran, and I haven't even understood it, and it hasn't even bothered me. Forgive me, my time is running, but I just cannot. Throughout my years of speaking, and I ask Allah to forgive me and guide me, I don't know how to convey to my audience that the message of the Quran, understood by the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course coupled with iman and consciousness, because if the heart is bereft of iman and faith, and you're a linguist in Arabic language, then that's more tragic than anything. That's more tragic than anything. People have written Arabic dictionaries and mastered the language, and you're deprived of the Quran, then there can be nothing more sad than that. So it is coupled with that inner light, and may Allah bless us with that divine light. And then to understand it and marry the two and pair the two, there isn't a greater ecstasy. There isn't a greater ecstasy than just reading and understanding. So why has Allah done this entire thing? So in a nutshell, I was saying that this is the jinnat. They used to have this here, and the Quran said it used to add to the arrogance. That وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنْسِ يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. So the Arab said this, if you adopted someone, he became your biological son. And if he's your biological son, then when he divorces his wife, you cannot marry her because that's your daughter-in-law. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying, right? Just follow so we can appreciate the wisdom of what we're saying. Now the Quran, when it comes to truth, Allah says it as it is. That's the truth. That is the beauty of Islam. Allah says it as it is. The Prophet ﷺ had adopted Zayd radiallahu anhu, made him his son. Allah revealed the verse, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is not your son. Wallahu la yastahi min al-haq. And when it comes to the truth, Allah says it. Allah says it as it is. Today we accommodate, we consider, we sensitive, we tread in, you know, how he mustn't feel offended, she mustn't feel offended, and we temper it. No. When it comes to the truth, Allah pronounces the truth as it is. Allah pronounces the truth as it is. Wallahu la yastahi min al-haq. So Allah said, وَمَا جَعَلَ أَدْعِيَاءَكُمْ أَبَنَاءَكُمْ. Allah refuted three things in this verse. One was the notion amongst Arab, if a man was very intelligent or wise, they said he had two hearts. They say a cat could have 11 lives, I don't know. Anyway, they say that this person had two hearts. This was their notion. The second thing is when they adopted someone, then they would say that's his actual son. And the third thing they had was, that when they would divorce, they would say, she is to me like the back of my mom. أَنْتِ عَلَيَّ كَظَهْرِ أُمِّي. So Allah refuted all three. وَمَا جَعَلَ أَزْوَاجَكُمُ اللَّائِي تُظَاهِرُونَ مِنْهُنَّ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ وَمَا جَعَلَ أَدْعِيَاءَكُمْ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِّن قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِ. This is untrue that a person has two hearts. And then the second thing is that when you divorce your wife, she doesn't become your mother. That was the way they used to divorce, but she doesn't. إِنْ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَدْنَهُمْ. The opening verses of the 28th Juz Surah Mujadala, none are their biological moms but the one who gave birth to them. And the son you adopted is not your son. That is what the Quran said. Now, to practically break up this year, that an adopted son is not your son, hence his ex-wife is not your daughter-in-law, because your daughter-in-law from your son, from your loin, as the Quran says, right? وَحَلَائِلُ أَبَنَائِكُمُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ أَصْلَابِكُمْ. حَلَائِل is the plural of the word حَلِيلَ. And forbidden for you is to marry the wife of your son who was born to you from your loin, from your back. I hope I'm talking, somebody knows what I'm talking here. Are we all understanding?
Yeah.
Okay, appreciate that. Shukran. Thank you. Oh, Quran is so beautiful. I always tell people, break your head and understand Quran. In the end, whether you understood it or not, you'll be rewarded. You break in your head to understand politics, you're not going to get it right. You break in your head to understand why the currency is going up or down, you're not going to. That president is going to cough, your currency goes down. The other one is going to sneeze, your currency goes up. That's the world. The economists, you break in your head, you split in hairs, you're not going to come right. It's not going to happen. And then this one, no, wait, I'll tell you how it works. Wait, you don't know, I'll explain to you. Oh, each one is a super authority. And each one has 10 opinions. Why break your head on that? Imam Shafi said, when I break my head to understand, and finally I understand, وَتَمَا يُلِي طَرَبًا لِحَلِّ عَوِيصَةٍ فِي الدَّرْسِ أَشْهَى مِن مُدَامَةِ سَاقِي. Then I sway with jubilation and happiness more than a man who had the best of alcohol can sway. سهري لتنقيح العلوم ألذ لي من وصل غانية وطيب عناقي. Give me my books to study and I stay awake at night. By Allah, it gives me a greater thrill than embracing a woman who's naturally beautiful at an exotic location. And this wasn't this was real. But break your head to understand Quran. So forbidden for you is the wife of your son born from your loin. And if it's an adopted son, then his ex-wife is not your daughter-in-law. Now the Quran wanted to physically dismantle this practice. Because the Arabs believed that if you adopted it was. So the Prophet ﷺ adopted Zayd radiallahu anhu. Then Allah said, he's not your son. So the Prophet ﷺ said, now you will be identified. As the Quran said, call him by his biological father. Don't call him by his foster father or the father who adopted. Ud'uhum li'aba'ihim. Ud'uhum li'aba'ihim. One of the most severe crimes is to change your lineage. The Prophet ﷺ said, one of the most severe crimes is to direct yourself to someone other than your parents. So identify him through his father. That was done. Now Allah wanted to break and dismantle this practice so that why? لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَجٌ فِي أَزْوَاجِ أَدْعِيَائِهِمْ. So in future, if anybody wants to marry the ex-wife of his adopted son, he won't have a guilt because my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. So the only way around this was that the adopted son of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was now no longer taken as his son, had to get married and become the wife and the, so to say, daughter-in-law, coming to the wedlock, the marriage to break up, so that the Prophet of Allah can marry her and this practice can be dismantled. And Allah says, this is why. What I'm saying is the wisdom of Allah is only known to him. The wisdom of Allah is only لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَجٌ. But the tale gets more intriguing and riveting. When the marriage of Zayd radiallahu anhu ended with Zainab radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Zayd, you go to Zainab and you propose on my behalf. Yes. So yesterday, the Prophet ﷺ was going to Zainab and proposing for Zayd. Now Zayd has divorced her, and the Prophet ﷺ told Zayd, you go to your former wife and take my proposal. This is in all the books of hadith.
وفي هذا من الحكمة أن ما يقع بين الزوجين من نفرة وخلاف ثم طلاق لا يجوز أن يكون مانعا من نصح أحد الزوجين للآخر. فهذا الزيد بالرغم ما وقع بينه وبين زينب فإنه يذهب إلى زينب ويخطبها لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The reason why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sent Zayd رضي الله عنه to teach the Ummah a lesson, it doesn't mean if your marriage was dissolved, you no longer can desire good for your former partner. Oh man, what a clean society, what rich morals, what a clean system, what a pristine value, that you can go back. Hear this, campaigning, smear campaign, mudslinging, Facebooking, and nasty images, and what happens. That you can go back and you still desire good, and you go back to your wife and say to her, Abshiri ya Zainab, O Zainab, congratulations. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is proposing for you. That is the teachings of Islam. Ma'qil ibn Yasar, I'm mentioning this one incident and I'm wrapping up inshallah. Ma'qil ibn Yasar radiyallahu anhu, his sister was married to Abu Dahdah radiyallahu anhu. The marriage dissolved. After the talaq was over, the former husband and wife decided to get married again. Ma'qil ibn Yasar told his sister that if you get married back to your husband, then I'm not your brother and we have no ties. You don't go back. You were with him, the marriage broke up. Why do you want to go back? Allah said, that's not the way we deal with situations. وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ. When you've divorced them and they've completed their iddah, then don't hold them back. Don't deny them their marriage. إِذَا تَرَاضَوْا بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. If they are mutually happy and they want to get married, then just because I said so and just because you said so, no. The verse was revealed and Ma'qil ibn Yasar radiallahu anhu then told his sister that you can get married again to Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu. So the point we're trying to drive and impress on myself and you, my brother and sister, is Allah's wisdom is complete. Allah's plan is perfect. Inna Rabbi latiful lima yasha. Inna Rabbi latiful lima yasha. You know, someone asked, Alaysa kamalul lutfi adamul ibtila? Wal jawabul imani wal aqli la. You say, you know, often when there's a crisis or there's a tragedy, then the atheists and the agnostics say, okay, if you believe, then where was your God? Where was your Lord? Where was your being? What did he do? So somebody might pose the question, Is not the demand of total compassion that you're not tested? If your Almighty loves you as you claim, and definitely we do, and we say it with absolute certainty. So, alaysa kamalul lutf, is it not total kindness, adamul ibtila, that you are not tested? Wal jawabul imani wal aqli la. The religious and logical reply is no. Why? لِأَنَّ الْخَلْقَ مَخْلُوقُونَ لِلْإِبْتِلَى. Because we have been created to be tested. وَلَوْلَ الْبَلَى وَالْإِبْتِلَى لَمَا عُرِفَ الْمُتَقَدِّمُ مِنَ الْمُتَأَخِّرِ وَالسَّابِقُ مِنَ الْمُبْطِلِ. And if there was not this test and this challenges, we would have never known who excelled and who stayed behind, who advanced and who lagged behind. فَالْحَيَاتُ وَالْإِبْتِلَاءُ قَرِينَانِ. Life and test are twins, they are paired together. And this is why Allah has sent us. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاتِ. But if you look and you understand, the ulama say that Allah tests, but He is such that even in His testing He favors. You know, like I often say, Allah forgives without taunting. Man taunts without forgiving. Allah forgives without taunting. When Allah forgives you, Allah won't say, Yeah, but I forgave you. You know? I cry at this part of the hadith. I cry. Allah knows how much I've cried. And it just gives me, because sometimes you've hurt a close beloved or a partner or anything, and then you know how long it takes you to get them to forgive. That's why they say when your partner makes a mistake,
Don't rub it in, rub it out. When your partner makes a mistake, don't rub it in, rub it out. And Allah says, لَوْ بَلَغَتْ ذُنُوبُكَ عَنَانَ السَّمَاءَ ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرْتَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي وَلَا أُبَالِي وَلَا أُبَالِي. I don't know how to translate this, really. Oh my servant, if you sin, and then you've decided to repent, I'm going to forgive you. And if I give a paraphrase translation, I won't rave about it that I forgave you. Listen, it's a done deal. Some people, they forgive, but oh God, you will have to hear that for the rest of your life. You will have to hear that for the rest of your life. You know? So anyway, Allah tests, and in the test also Allah favors. Yusuf alayhi salam is dropped in the well by his brothers. And when he is dropped, what a challenge. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. While he's dropped, he gets wahi in the depth of the well that Yusuf, a time will come, you will survive this year, you will be narrating these events to these very brothers, identifying them, and they will be clueless that you the king. So Allah tested him, but in the midst of the test, Allah comforted him, Allah gave him a dream, Allah gave him a revelation. Shawkani says, that this ayah proves to us, يَجُوزُ أَن يُوحِ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِلَى مَنْ كَانَ صَغِيرًا. That Allah sends wahi to a minor, while others say it was ilham and inspiration. This is academic language by the scholars of tafsir. But Allah comforts it to him. At the time when he's dropped in, when? حِينَ تَكُونُ فِي مِصْرِ. When you'll be sitting on the throne of Egypt. تَرَبَّعْتَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَمَلَكْتَ خَزَائِنَهَا وَأَطَاعَكَ أَهْلُهَا وَالْإِخْوَةُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. You'll be on the throne, you'll be in your glory. So Allah did test him. He was dropped down, but Allah also comforted him. I mention one incident and I wrap up. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Romans had a battle, and Allah speaks about this in the Quran, against the Persians. The Romans were people of the book. They followed the teachings of the book. So the Muslims had a sense of allegiance towards them, and they fought against the Persians. The Persians were dominant and victorious, and the Romans were defeated. So the news filtered into Makkah, and the Muslims were saddened over the loss of the Romans, who were people of the book and followed the teachings of Isa alayhi salam. So the people of Makkah said to the Muslim, نَغْلِبُكُمْ كَمَا غَلَبَتْ فَارِسُ الرُّومِ. Well, it's time for you to learn that just as the Romans have been defeated by the Persians, we will also defeat you. So it was at the time when the Muslims were in their early stages, things were challenging, and then they were, you know, weak, frail, they didn't have that structure, that resources. And then on the other hand, the Romans were defeated, with whom they had an affinity and the Muslims had a bonding. And Allah revealed the verse, Alif Lam Mim Ghulibati Ar-Rum. The Romans have been overpowered. فِي أَدْنَى الْأَرْضِ وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ. And after being defeated, they will overpower them. فِي بِضْعِ سِنِينَ. In a matter of few years. Now bid'un could mean anything between 3 and 9. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then entered into a contract with one of the disbelievers, and he said, in 7 years you would see that the army that was defeated will be victorious. So the Prophet ﷺ said, no, don't say 7, Allah used the word bid'un, and bid'un could mean 3 to 9. So extend the period, so that we are safe according to the prophecy of the Quran. And then he said between 3 and 9 years. But look at the planning of Allah. What did I say earlier? Sometimes in life, the challenges double, only to bring a day where the glory will double, only to bring a day where the ease will double. And then Allah brought the day of victory, where the Romans who were defeated, only the Quran can predict the victory of a defeated nation at the time of defeat. I mean, when someone is defeated, who can say they will rise one day? You could say the pattern of life, the rhythm of life, the nature of battle, potentially, assumably, whatever. At the time of defeat, the Quran said, they will stand up and rise, and they will overpower their foe and their enemy. But the planning and the wisdom of Allah is that this victory coincided with the victory that the Muslims enjoyed at Badr. So it was a dual joy and a dual happiness.
ويومئذ يفرح المؤمنون بنصر الله ينصر من يشاء.
And on that day the believers will be happy because the promise of Allah and the prediction of Allah came to the absolute fruition. They were joyous over the victory of the Muslims in Badr, and coupled with that they were joyous over the victory of the Romans over their opponent. When the spoils of Khaybar were being conquered and were being collected, and the Prophet ﷺ said, I don't know what makes me more happy, because when the spoils of Khaybar came, rich wealth came in, it poured in, and it was handsome assets. And it was real in great monetary value. لا أدري بأيهما أشد فرحا بفتح خيبر أم بقدوم جعفر. Ja'far radiallahu anhu was sent to Habasha, and he had gone to Yemen, and his wife was Asma bint Umays radiallahu anha. And from the union they had three children, Aun, Muhammad and Abdullah. And he was separated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for over a decade. And he came into Medina at the same time when the conquest of Khaybar took place. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah has brought a dual joy to me today. The conquest of Khaybar, which was so much anticipated, and the reunion of my cousin Ja'far. And really, I don't know what gives me a greater sense of joy. Is it the reunion with my cousin or the conquest of Khaybar? We ask the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us ease and afiyah. And we ask Allah never to test us. But we equally ask Allah that if He has decided and decreed to give us firmness on what He has decreed for us, يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماعا مرحوما، وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما، ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما. O most kind, most loving, most gracious, most merciful Allah, we ask you through the agency of your Ismul A'zam, your supreme name through which no prayer is rejected, to answer all our prayers, O Allah. O Allah, the brothers and the sisters that have assembled and gathered here, O Allah, each one has his own needs and desires, Allah. You understand their needs better than we can express it, O Allah. O Allah, we ask it to you not because you are unaware, but we ask it to you because you have impressed upon us to beg you, O Allah. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ مَا نُخْفِي وَمَا نُعْلِنْ. Allah, you know what we conceal and you equally know what we reveal. وَمَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Nothing is hidden from you, O my Allah. Your greatness and your glory is such, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. That the heavens and the earth glorify you, O my Allah. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. As you have said, some rocks fall out of your fear, O my Allah. As you have said, وَإِنْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. That everything glorifies you, but we do not comprehend it, O Allah. As you have said, O Allah, كُلٌّ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحَهُ. Every creature in creation intrinsically knows how to praise you, Allah. خَلَقَ فَهَدَى. You created and you guided everything, O Allah. O Allah, we ask you, O Allah, in this time of trial and tribulation, in challenges, Allah, that has rocked the planet, Allah. There's turbulence across the globe, my Allah. Internally, socially, politically, financially, morally, spiritually, O Allah. Allah, we've opened our eyes in an era, Allah, that has been riddled with challenges. We ask you, my Allah, grant us strength, Allah. Grant us ease, Allah. Grant us goodness, O Allah. Allah, those of our marriages that are going through difficulty, O Allah, you unite the couples, Allah. Those that are guilty of infidelity, O Allah, you give them the ability to abandon a life of sin and vice, O Allah. Those of our young brothers and sisters that are of marriageable age, O Allah, you grant them good partners, Allah. Those that have become addicted to any form of substance abuse, O Allah, or any form of haram or pornography or any form of vice, O Allah, you free them and create in our hearts and their hearts the dislike of sin, O Allah. O Allah, make vice repugnant to us, O Allah. Make it repugnant to us, Allah. Let us despise it, let us dislike it, let us abhor it, O Allah. Those amongst us that our parents are alive, O Allah, give us the ability to serve them to optimum, O Allah. O Allah, let us be those children who bring a smile of joy to them, O Allah. O Allah, let us be those who comfort them, O Allah. Those amongst us of our parents have moved on, O Allah. You elevate their abode in paradise, O Allah. convert their vice into virtue, O Allah, the wealth that you have given us, give us wealth through halal sources. Allahumma hablana ghinan la yutghina. Allah, give us wealth that doesn't make us arrogant. Wa sihhatan la tulhina. And give us health that doesn't make us negligent, O Allah. Allah, you protect our youth. You guide our youth. O Allah, grant us good rulers, O Allah. Grant good people, O Allah. O Allah, you put an end to all the tyranny and the oppression, O Allah. Allah, you put an end to all the killing and the massacre, O Allah. O Allah, so many of the Muslims are languishing innocently in jails and others, Allah. Allah, you create their freedom and their liberation and their emancipation, O Allah. O Allah, you grant us a noble death, grant us a blessed death, grant us an enviable death, Allah. Allah, we prepare for every occasion but our death, O Allah. Give us the ability to prepare for our death, O Allah. Grant us a death in the state of iman. Allahumma tawaffana wa anta radin anna. Allahumma tawaffana wa anta radin anna. O Allah, the brothers who have invited me and facilitated my humble tour, ya, reward each one of them, the well-wishers, the donors, those who facilitated it, those who attended it, those who were part of it, those who intended to come, O Allah, you reward one and all, O Allah. Make our assembly, ya, a source of goodness for us, O Allah. O Allah, unite us in the gardens of Jannah as you've united us here today in your masjid, O Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.
For more lectures, visit SLHub.